Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, also known as Achish. Abimelech is like Pharaoh, a title, like the English king or queen. It's not the name. It's a title who drove him away when he departed. David at this time was a fugitive from King Saul. King Saul managed to threaten all Israel to take his side, that if anyone were to help and assist David in his flight from King Saul, and if they are caught, they will be killed. Because King Saul did kill practically every priest except for Abiathar, who escaped for his life. They were suspected of assisting David, even though they did not do it. But the king did not care. And by what he did, David had driven to the very, very last corner of his life. The only way he could feel safe was to be outside of Israel. And so he had to hide in Philistine territory. Achish was the king that confronted David. And if you were to look at the Old Testament passage where this was the background of this psalm, you realize that David, in order to escape for his life, he had to feign madness. Because they recognized him. They said that this was the man who killed tens of thousands of Philistines. Remember the song that was sung that resulted in King Saul's jealousy against David? Saul killed his 1,000, but David his 10,000. And so in feigning madness, they left him alone. But David understood from this psalm that it was not the madness of David that saved him. Sure, he did what he thought was right. But he understood that the reality of it was the Lord's doing. The Lord was the one who protected and saved him. Because the moment he fled out of the territory of Israel, King Saul could not touch him. But David would be in mortal danger because he would have to hide and live with his family and his men who was now 600 strong and their families in enemy's territory. And so the Lord did protect and watched over his servant until the day when the Lord decided that it is time for King or David to become the next king of Israel. And so this psalm was written based upon that particular context. The word magnify means to talk big. We all like to talk big, don't we? Especially in areas that we are very good in. We like to talk big. That's the way of the world. We can't help ourselves. Of course, we do want to talk big when I do not do well. That we want to cover up, we want to hide because it's shameful. Embarrassing moments. We like to talk big about our accomplishments. You know, as preachers, there are certain things that we are most afraid of. Sore throat. And cough. Because when you have sore throat and you're not able to preach from the diaphragm, you are in trouble. And you still have to preach and teach, but you have no voice. The other thing is non-stop coughing. How to preach when you keep on coughing? So we don't like to boast about our embarrassment because it's embarrassing. So we don't like to talk big. You know what is embarrassing for the preacher? I thought these were worse. What was most embarrassing was I drank a lot of water in order to take away my cough because my throat was itching. And you know what happened when you drink lots of water? And I was at a church camp overseas and it was winter time. And so I don't perspire. I drank lots of water, one whole flask actually, before I went up to preach. And then halfway through my preaching, actually not halfway, 15 minutes, I had to use the bathroom. So I have to excuse myself. So I said, please, I've never done this before for the past 20 over years of preaching. But I have to go. And so I excused myself. I went. But that was not the worst part. The bathroom was just across the corridor. And so I rushed, and I thank God it was so near. And so went to the toilet, and I started to relieve myself. And then I was so glad. You know the nice feeling? And then I realized that the mic was here. That kind of mic. I quickly covered up. Because it was just across the corridor. I hope the guy who was controlling the mic thing would turn it off. So quickly I finish. I rush over, I look at their faces. Nobody was laughing. So I think it was okay. But the thought of it frightened me. It was embarrassing. See, these kind of things, and there are some more other things, very embarrassing. We don't like to talk big. We don't like to say all these things because it's not good. It brings down our face and our name. Talking big. And so God says, I know you like to talk big. But I want you to talk big as a Christian. Talking big as a Christian is good. Because that's the meaning of the word magnify. It comes from the word which means big. Magnify it, not small. Use a big magnifying glass and then shine it very, very much on it. Focus on it and enlarge it. Talk big. But about whom? The Lord now. Don't stop talking big. That's in us. In the past, we talked big about how clever we are in getting A's. We don't tell people when we fail. We talk big about how I can do this sport well. I can do that thing well. Are my accomplishments. But God says, now that you are a Christian, and David was a Christian, no doubt about that. We know that. And so he says from verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, when you look at Psalms, the first verse is usually the verse that will reveal to you the main theme. The main theme. And then the last verse is usually something that will describe the first verse. Sometimes it is a repetition. Like a sandwich. You have two pieces of bread and then in between you have the meat. Look at verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And so you realize now why David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. And the context was deliverance from his own king who wanted him dead. Because he was jealous that God had appointed David to be his successor, and that means his dynasty will come to an end. He hated that. And now David was in enemy's territory, not of his own doing, but that was the only way that he could keep himself safe, and that of his men and their families from King Saul. Enemy's territory. And so he knew that every day he woke up surrounded by thousands, if not millions, of Philistines. It is only the Lord himself who could protect him. And so in verse 1, he talks of, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is synonymous parallelism, using synonym to emphasize the same truth. Praising the Lord. Why? He redeemeth my soul, and none of them that trust in him shall be destroyed. And in between, he will share in detail what he meant by why I must talk big about my Lord. So do you and I have anything about the Lord to talk big? Truly, sincerely, not flattery, genuine, sincere testimony. Whereby you want to talk big and boast and magnify the Lord himself. Because the more you talk big about the Lord, the smaller you and I become. The less you talk big about the Lord, and you and I will still talk big. If it is not the Lord, your family, which in turn, indirectly, will also be you. You talk big about your children's good results. Very, very high praise of your children, because they are professionals. And you're proud that they are university graduates, professionals, earning big bucks, big jobs, living in big houses. And the addresses of these big houses, all those special names in Singapore, right? Starts with King or Queen, right? King Albert Park, Queen Astrid Park, right? Princes, all these definitely cannot be cheap places. True? And then you are not ashamed to tell people, where do you stay? Oh, I stay in King Albert Park. This is the address. How big? When you don't stay in all these big places, where do you stay?
Yeah, I stay at Choa Chu Kang.
Where do you stay? Choa Chu Kang. What, Choa Chu Kang? That's where a lot of neighbors there, right? They don't bother you at all. Because at night, everything is very dark. You know Choa Chu Kang, right? A lot of neighbors are there. And their house is very small. It's all underground. That's where you stay?
That's where I stay, Choa Chu Kang.
Shh. No point talking big about Choa Chu Kang. King Albert Park. The bigger the better, the louder the better. Talking big is what we do. Nothing wrong with it. It's the focus. David says, I want to talk big and magnify the Lord. From verse 4 to verse 8. You realize that talking big will impact people. And so the first impact is on others. Do you want to impact others for others' good? Don't talk about yourself. You talk big about yourself, you only bring forth envy and jealousy. You live in all these big houses and I don't. What do you think the person will feel? Jealous. Yeah, very good, clever. His sarcasm will come out. These are all because of jealousy. They want what they can't get. You talk big about the Lord, they want, they can have Him as well. And so it becomes a testimony. When you talk big about the Lord. And verse 3 basically is also synonymous parallelism like verse 1. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Same thing. That means the emphasis is repeated. To tell us, I just want to talk big about the Lord. David is a nobody. And even after he became king, David will never forget. Because his external circumstances will change. But his heart and his mind in only wanting to focus on God remains the same. And the moment he did not do so, what happened? Adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and the last and final transgression, he numbered the people when he was not supposed to do so. Because pride was in his heart in his evening years. How great a nation of Israel, I, David, had accomplished for God. When I inherited it from King Saul, it was small, it was fragmented. The borders were eaten up by the Philistines on the Mediterranean side, and then the Syrians on the north, and then you have the Ammonites and the Moabites on the eastern side, and then you have on the south the Edomites. It was being eaten up. But during my time as king, during the 40 years as king, I, David, had enlarged it, stabilized it, and Israel was at the height of her military and economic and spiritual might. And the moment he numbered for that reason, he transgressed, thousands of Israelites died. And David repented straight away. The moment he wanted to magnify David, the problem came. Magnify the Lord to impact others. What kind of impact, you may ask? I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. First and foremost, when His men looked at Him, why was He not afraid? Why was He able to have peace in His heart, living in Philistine territory, surrounded by all these enemies who at any time could slaughter them and kill their families and wipe them out? He had peace. And look at the impact. And they look upon him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Hey, how come the pronoun change. You see the pronoun change? I, singular. First person. Verse 5, they. Plural. Third person. That means others look at David, and it will definitely include his 600 men and their families. He was the leader. They followed him. They looked unto him and were lightened. That means they also were cheerful. And the faces were not ashamed. That means they also were not discouraged, disheartened. When they look at David, you want to impact your family and your co-workers and your classmates in school. Don't magnify yourself. Don't talk big about yourself. It will not bring forth this kind of godly impact. Because it's going to impact others. That's why we are here. You want to impact people to point them to the Savior, you talk big about the Lord. Not yourself. And to do that, you have to know who you are. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, they observe. The angel of the Lord, that is Christ, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You see the impact on others? Those who look up to him, those who trust him, those who followed him? They were drawn closer to the Lord because of David. Moms and dads, you want your children to draw closer to the Lord? You talk big about the Lord, not yourself and not your big house and your big car and all these carnal things. You're going to point your children to carnality and drive them away from Christ. How big and the impact on others, especially those who know you. And the more they know you, the more they encounter you, like your children, like your parents, like your friends, like your colleagues, like your school friends. The more time they spend with you, the greater will be your impact on them, good or bad. Magnify the Lord with me, David shared. Talk big about the Lord together with me. He was talking to Christians. And in order to maintain that and to do that, David shared, verse 9 to verse 16, the impact on self. It's so hard to have the impact on others that will point them to the Lord when you are not walking right with the Lord. Because most of us will try to be sincere and not be hypocrite. And if you try to be a hypocrite and pretend, it will not last. Because the will of man is not that strong. It has to be a deep, sincere conviction. And therefore, when you talk big about the Lord, it must first impact yourself, your own soul, your own mind, and your own heart. And that's what we see. Verse 9. All fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. You will lack nothing in your life. Because once you have Christ, what Jesus meant when he said those metaphors to describe himself, the living bread and the living water, you'll never thirst again. Thirst again for what? For the things that the world offers you, for the things that the devil offers you. Your love and your desire for all the carnal things of the world evaporates. Sure, there are times when you are not as close to the Lord, this desire will surface again. That's why you have to maintain a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So action will make it as bright and as attractive as possible. But once you have tasted the living water, you will never thirst for anything that the world offers. You will never be hungry again for the things of the world because you have also tasted the living bread, right? The bread of life. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ described himself, using all these food, because food is something that this physical body thirst and hunger for almost every day. And so using this feeling and experience of thirst and hunger physically, Jesus now applied it spiritually to tell us that the impact of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as a Christian must be our full satisfaction. Continually. If it is not sustained continually, we are in trouble. That's why the impact of talking big about the Lord Jesus Christ has to be within our soul first. And the fear of the Lord will be in us. The young lions do lack. And you and I know that young lions are animals that have inexhaustible strength when they go out and hunt. And yet the Bible says, compared to them that appear to have inexhausted the Lord, you talk big concerning the Lord, you will be better than these young lions with God on your side. They will suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see the impact on yourself. When the talking big is about the Lord. 2019 is gone. We make many mistakes. We have boasted a lot about self, especially when you have very smart children. You must know that your children's ability, the IQ, is from the Lord. Everything you have is from the Lord. Every cent you have is from the Lord. Your ability to think and evaluate things, your skill, from the Lord. Everything about us is from the Lord. That's why truly, in reality, we have nothing to talk big about ourselves. Nothing. Because everything we receive comes from the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us with His precious blood, we belong to God. Our time, our lives, our energy, our strength, our breath, everything belongs to Him. And therefore, truly, actually, we have nothing to talk big about concerning self. But as a child of God, truly born again, we truly have everything to boast, to magnify only the Lord. And to maintain it, it has to impact self. The Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil. See how it will impact you? You want to have a long life, a life of godliness and a blessed life, that at the end of it, when people think about you, when people remember you, it will be about the Lord. Then you guard your tongue. The Lord will help you. That's why the first impact is what comes out of your mouth will reveal what is in your heart. You murmur, complain all the time. You use foul language all the time. The Bible tells us that your heart is dark and wicked and evil. Because as a Christian, all these types of language must never be found in us. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Synonymous parallelism. So impact on self, that's how we know. Impact on self concerning our speech. Impact on self concerning our walk. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Where you go, who your friends are, what are the places you avoid, what are the places you like to come. There are some people who love to go for high tea, and they like to hang around with their friends who are of the same financial and status that they are in society. And they have no qualms spending big bucks found in all these high places, so that they can rub shoulders with all the VVIPs of the world. Maybe as an unbeliever, fine. But as a child of God, that kind of conversation, that kind of places, just to go and to be found in all these places, in order to rub shoulders, as a child of God, we should depart and run far away from evil and to do good and seek peace and run after peace, not these kind of places, because the conversation will not drive you closer to Christ. Their conversation will drive you far away from Christ and closer to the world, because you can't expect them who are not Christians to be Christian-like. They're going to be carnal. And as a child of God, you should have a harder for Christian fellowship. You should have a heart for Christian activities, like worship, like coming for prayer meeting. Like all the fellowship groups that are found in your church bulletin. They are there, planned, prepared for you to come. Because these are to help you, so that you will not be seduced by the world. Because when there are no alternatives, what do you think you will do? Well, the church did not provide me with any alternative to do things spiritual, to spend time with fellow Christians throughout the week except on Sunday. So what does the church leaders want me to do? After work, after school, I need to spend time with some people, but you have nothing Christian prepared for me. And so, inevitably, they will go out with their non-Christian friends doing unchristian things. Right? You will not depart from evil. That's why the impact has to be on self, so that many find the Lord with me, David says. You must say it too. To impact others can be sustained. Because if you are not impacted first in magnifying the Lord in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own life, your impact for the Lord upon others will be short-lived. We can see that. Pandana, many of our young people talk to my son and ask him some time back, "Son," my wife and I ask him, "can you tell us, share with us, how many of your contemporaries are still in church with you?" Because my son is now in his mid-20s. They were together, teens, also YF. So how many are in the church serving and worshipping? Then he started, less than 5. How many were in the YF at that time? 30 plus, nearly 40, sometimes 50. What happened to the rest? Where are they? The impact of the church is minimal in comparison to the impact of parents in their lives at home. And then when I look at them, and he named them, and I look at the parents, likewise the parents are also not in church. The parents are also cold-hearted as far as attending fellowship groups are concerned. Even though we have fellowship groups for the age of adults and senior adults, and we deliberately have them all at the same time, so that they all can come and attend at the same time, 5 o'clock. So while your children are attending the YF, you can also attend the AF at 5 o'clock. Because we know that if you don't attend and you try to encourage and push your children to attend, they're going to look back at you and say, "Mom, Dad, why are you not attending? Where is your right to tell me to attend when you do not want to attend? You have lost your moral right to tell me to attend." And so, the moment they are past their 20s, for the girls, they started work. For the guys, just finished NS. They now become adults and they are very willful. You can't push them to go anymore. And the world has gripped them and the world has captured their heart and they are now in the world. And so what do? You still come, maybe in body, but whether in heart and in mind, I hope so. But it is the heart and the mind that is mixed with regret. Because what you have done cannot be undone. And now all you long for is for your son and your daughter to be in church. Because you know that if the Lord tarries, you are running out of time. And you do not want to close your eye on earth for the last time, not knowing whether your son or your daughter has returned to the Lord. And if they have not returned unto the Lord, you are not even certain whether they are backsliding or they are not born again. Isn't that what awaits you? And all because, as a Christian in our younger days, we forgot to talk big about the Lord, and we continue to talk big about self and what we have accomplished in the world. And the impact on self was very minimal, if at all. And so our words, our eyes, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You think the Lord doesn't see? The Lord knows exactly who we are, what we are, where we go, what we do. There is no night and day with the Lord. You think that you can do things early in the morning, the Lord is sleeping? Your mom and dad are sleeping, but not the Lord. You think you can run away to some distant country and do naughty things, and nobody knows in Singapore, and you are okay? You want the Lord to bless you, the one that you must be very mindful and concerned with is the Lord himself. Not the church, not your family, nobody but the Lord. Because you want to talk big about the Lord to impact yourself. to remain in holiness and godliness according to scriptures. Then, you talk big about the Lord in all sincerity and conviction to impact others, to point people to the Savior as well. Because the devil is not going to leave you alone. Because as you try to do all these things, to magnify the Lord, to impact people for Christ, to sustain it by impacting yourself for Christ, the final portion of this verse, this psalm tells us, you have to impact for the Lord against the enemies as well. Because they are going to destroy you. They are going to try their best to undo your godly witness. That's why impact on enemies. And David was surrounded by enemies. He can't go back to Israel. King Saul was there. And King Saul threatened everyone in Israel. You help David, you die. And they were scared to help him. And Philistines, also enemies. That's why magnify the Lord will protect you from your enemies. You magnify yourself, the enemies will eat you up. Don't. You will not succeed. You magnify the Lord and you will impact people for Christ, impact yourself for Christ to sustain it, and then impact your enemies so that they will not succeed in destroying it. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles, you see. When you impact yourself for Christ, you are right with the Lord will hear you, the Lord will help you, and the Lord will protect and deliver you. You see that? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. You see, you don't talk about yourself. Broken heart, what's there to magnify and talk about my broken heart? Nothing. But the Lord, yes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It will not be a life without challenges. The more you are like Christ, the more you are going to face a lot of adversities. But you keep on magnifying the Lord, and the Lord will help you. And don't think that deliverance will always be delivered from the physical body. Of course, in the case of David, he was delivered from his physical harm and hurt because the will of God in David's life has not begun yet. God has called him to be the next king of Israel, and right now he was still a fugitive. That's why his physical life and body was spared until God made him the king of Israel. And then for the next 40 years after he became king, after he finished his 40-year term, then the Lord took him home. Never always think that deliverance means physical harm. Daniel delivered from physical harm because in his context, God doesn't want the lions to eat him. The three friends of Daniel, thrown into a fiery furnace, God's sovereign will for them, spared from the fiery furnace. But also remember, when you study church history, there were thousands who were eaten up by lion and burned up in fiery furnace. And they cannot say, and you must not say, that the Lord did not deliver them. There were many who were crucified like Christ. And then after they died in Romans' time, they were lit up like lampposts at night to light the way from city A to city B. Burning Christians. Did the Lord deliver them? Yes, because they held on to their faith even unto death. That's how you must look at deliverance. So please do not think that deliverance means when you fall sick, you will no longer be sick. It's more than just physical. In some context, in some cases, yes. Like in this case, David's will, God's will in David's life, not done yet. Same for Daniel's three friends. But there were others. William Tyndale, he did not finish the translation of the Bible. But he was betrayed, he was caught, they strangled him, and then they burned him at the stake. Did the Lord deliver him? Yes, because he remained faithful to the Lord in doing God's will, even though God's will does not mean that he will complete the translation of the whole Bible into English language. But the Lord delivered him because he held on to the faith. He magnified the Lord even unto death. So please understand the deliverance from the spiritual as well as the physical perspective. Physical, case by case. Spiritual, always. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate, and the Lord redeemeth redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That is destroyed. The enemies destroyed. Those who magnify the Lord, they will impact the enemy, and the Lord will protect and keep them safe unto death. They will remain faithful and true to our Savior. Magnify the Lord with me, David shared and cried, to impact others, to help them come to the Lord and drive them closer to the Lord, and to sustain that, you impact yourself by magnifying the Lord in your own heart and in your own mind and in your own life through your words and through your entire being, your walk. And that will give you the strength and the victory to impact for Christ, even in the midst of your enemies who try to destroy your witness and to tear down your impact. Magnify the Lord. This is the new year. Whatever you do in the past that will be filled with regrets, they won't come back. Repent and ask the Lord to give you the courage, the conviction, and the discipline to make sure that 2020 will be a different year. A year where you will truly magnify the Lord and talk big about the Lord and the Lord only. And to do that, let the impact of the Lord first begin in your life. Every area of your life, put it under the searchlight of God's word. Is my relationship with my wife magnifying the Lord? Encourage yourself, keep at it. If it is not, fix it. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Parent-child relationship. Is it magnifying the Lord? Your work life. Is it magnifying the Lord as an employer or an employee? Are you fair? Are you just? Are you diligent? Students, you study hard for Christ. Don't study for grades. And pray before you study. Pray during your study and thank God after you study. Make a difference. The 2020 will be a life where I will talk big about the Lord, for He must increase and I decrease. Check every area one by one. Is it magnifying the Lord? Children, honor your mom and your dad. Is it magnifying the Lord? In sincerity, not flattery, not talk behind their backs and bring them down. With your, when you talk to your friends, always honor them in the Lord, because they are God's choice for you as mom and dad, to shape you, to mold you, to build up your character for the glory of God. They are not perfect, but they are your parents. Only God is perfect. So don't expect them to be perfect. Pray for them. And you be a godly son and daughter by magnifying the Lord, and be good, godly children even when your parents are not believers. They need to see Christ in your life in order to be saved. So much to do, so little time to do it. Will you from henceforth magnify the Lord with King David, with brothers and sisters in Christ in this church? Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, it is so easy, O Lord, for us to magnify self, for that was what we did before salvation. How good and how clever we are, we tell the world. And yet, O God, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we realize that what we are now and what we can be all comes from Thee and Thee alone. And there is no one that we ought to and should magnify but the Lord Himself and the Lord only. Cleanse us and wash us, O God, of all our sins, when we have not magnified Thee the way we ought to in all areas of our lives. Help us by this magnification of the Lord in our lives to impact others for the Savior, that will encourage them and drive them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to sustain this, may we keep on magnifying the Lord to impact our own hearts and our own lives, to keep a close walk with Thee always, and to pray without ceasing.
And in the face of many enemies who try to destroy our impact for Christ, help us to also magnify the Lord and impact upon our enemies as well. To hold on, to persevere on, no matter what. Trusting in Thee to deliver us in Thy own way and in Thy own good time. So that this life that we live will truly point many to the Savior, especially in these last days. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to every heart. And help us truly, sincerely throughout this year to magnify the Lord. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.